two worlds combine, it sparks into existence a brand new life of clarity and cosmic insight. This is the truest form of alchemy. Join Becky Gregory and Hillis Pugh on Cosmic Insight, only on Real Revolution Radio X.
Happy Christmas Eve, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Cosmic Insight. This very special holiday edition, we welcome you to be merry, to be joyful, to be happy as we take in this glorious time of year. And this is my beautiful co-host.
Rebecca Gregory here, and I want to thank you for joining us for this fun show. I am going to tell what happened, Hillis, because I just think it's a stare. This is our third take of the show because we were just so caught up with the joy. It was hysterical. So see the bloopers to follow filming or recording this show this evening. But we thought we'd start out with a classic that I think everybody has sat around a table in front of the fire or somewhere in their lifetime and heard this beautiful story or poem, The Night Before Christmas by Clement Clark Moore. And we thought we'd share with that tonight as a kind of a classic of just enjoying the holiday season as something I think every child remembers hearing this story and just become a part of who we are here. So, and Hillis is going to begin this evening.
Well, the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled and snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their head. And Mom in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When on the roof there arose such a clatter, I sprung from my bed to see what's the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, threw open the shutter and blew up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gave luster to the midday objects below. When what to my mind wonder eyes should appear, but a miniature sleigh with eight tiny reindeer.
With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blixen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the walls, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and prowling of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed in all fur, his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, and his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a reef. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly.
He was chubby and plump and right jolly old elf, and laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word and went straight to his work and filled those stockings when he turned and jerked, laying his finger aside his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh till his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like down a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, here he drove out of sight.
Happy holidays to all.
Happy holidays to all. Happy all holidays to all. Yeah, I kind of meant
that. And to all, good night.
Yes, and to all, a good night.
Phew. Wow. Yeah. That was something Hillis getting through that poem, you think.
Yeah, we got through that one. But you know, there's a little story behind, a personal story I want to share about that poem. So I was in first grade, Catholic school, and we did turn this poem into a little play for the school. Hmm. And I think I was overexcited or something, because I remember wanting to be a sugar plum. But my teacher said something like, you're too excited, you're too something. And she cast me as the mouse. So I was the mouse. And when they said, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, I was crawling around, and then I had to play dead for the whole entire play after that.
Oh my gosh, that was really hard. Maybe that was probably really hard for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was really hard, but I just had to lay there and just breathe and not move.
Oh,
I think
God.
It was about, and for a first grade kid, that was kind of like torturous, not being able to move for what felt like about a good 5-10 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. I could only imagine holding still for that long, being that little.
Yeah, I mean, you put me in the corner, I'm not sitting still for nothing to nobody.
And being the little mouse, I know, that was fun. That was fun reading that. I know that poem for me just brings back so many memories. Just over the years, just remember, it was just like the one book we always had and read out loud, you know, to everyone. And you know something? I think we have a guest joining us.
Santa's little helper?
Santa has a helper that's coming in to join us all the way from New Zealand. How cool is that? Hi.
Hello.
Look at you. Can we hear her? This is Ariana, who's ever been on my other show before. Ariana has been a guest that has joined. And so she decided to jump on for our holiday party all the way from New Zealand. So she's already had her Christmas, but she's here and driving around.
Hi, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Ariana, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Hillis. I had to stop at this shop and get me a tiara. Otherwise, I couldn't come on.
How awesome is that?
So I heard the little Christmas fairy came to see you, my dear, and you were gifted a brand new vehicle.
Yes. I was gifted a new vehicle for me, and all I ever wanted before I died was to have a cup holder. And this car has got three.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's fabulous. Do you have a drink in your cup holder now?
Not yet. I was going to talk to you guys, and then I'm off to get me a drink to put in it, and still driving around.
So since we're doing our holiday Merry Christmas, do you have a fun little holiday New Zealand story to tell us from the other side of the world? I feel like Santa right now. We're traveling around the world delivering presents.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. The ones that come to mind, I couldn't really repeat on air because they were naughty Santa elves, actually. Ooh. But, and, you know, just the thing of everybody without saying too much, everyone knowing, or some people knowing secrets and other people not. And then on Christmas Day, when all is revealed, it keeps you laughing all week because they just couldn't imagine that they would receive the same thing too, that there was like minds there and that it was really funny and they'd get so much out of it. So it's cool when everyone has those Santa secrets and secrets, you know, that's a thing at the moment, eh?
Yes. Did they all have this? Did some people get the same present? Is that what you were saying? Or just
the, yes. Yeah, chocolate, but different colors. Oh, and
yeah. Yeah, that sounds like.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that sounds a little bit different from what we have here about Secret Santa. You know, you take somebody's name and you give them a present. You don't know who got you the present. But I like your Secret Santa version a little bit better.
Yeah, well, we have that Secret Santa too, where you buy for others. But it's kind of cool when you're in it and you see, you know, the person's reaction that you've bought for, eh? And I reckon that just spreads the joy more, really.
Yeah. And isn't that what it's all about? It's just the joy and the love.
Yes, yeah. And yeah, it's kind of like you guys in the Northern Hemisphere, I don't know about where you are, Hillis, because we have summer here and ours is jandals or flip-flops and barbecues and camping and things. So yeah, what's yours like, Hillis?
I'm in Florida too, like Rebecca. And so growing up in Chicago, living in New York most of my life, it has been a very interesting dynamic in the past year. This is actually my second Christmas here in Florida, and to walk around in shorts and a t-shirt on Christmas is still kind of new to me. It's unreal because I'm like, okay, this is Christmas, but I don't have snow. I don't have any of that. I don't miss snow, but it's interesting in that respect to have that dynamic there. But I have a question for you, my dear. So actually two questions. One, is there a special meaning behind that tiara? And two, what was your favorite Christmas growing up?
Okay. The meaning behind my tiara is, and I don't know if you can see, it's kind of rainbow colors. For me, it was just, the sovereignty of yourself. You know, remember to look after you first and check in with your energies and treat yourself like a queen and or king and feel the joy and pull that in and celebrate it. So yeah, plus also to have fun. And my favorite one we were really lucky. Mum used to call it Orphan Christmas. So every breakfast, anybody that didn't have a Christmas or anything, they would come to our house for breakfast. And we'd have like 16 to 20 or more sitting around a table.
Wow.
And we'd have breakfast and coffee and tea and then straight into the alcohol and cocktails before everyone moved on. So those were my best ones, and everyone just told stories, and it was just a coming together. So we had that for many, many years. So I always feel lucky. And then after that, we went to families and, you know, our different families, but it was like the way we started our day was with everybody from all walks of life, families, singles, old and young. Was really cool.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So what about for you?
Who?
What's your favorite Christmas?
My favorite. You know, the Christmas that comes to me most is there was this, you know me, I love animals. There was, and I wanted this big stuffed bear. And I didn't think I was going to get it. And I just remember, I don't know, just in the middle of the night, I guess Santa had already come. And I just remember my bear was there and he was in the chair. And I remember I literally curled up in this bear on the chair and slept in this bear's arms all night long.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, as far as myself, that was mine. But I just remember, you know, holidays, just going up to my aunt and uncles and just spending time together. And, you know, we would make Christmas bread on Christmas Day and just have dinner and just, you know, hang out. And just, it was, I always had kind of, we didn't have a big family, so it was always kind of a low key Christmas for me. However, it was always beautiful to see my family and friends. So how about you, Hillis?
Well, so, you know, growing up, all my Christmases were magical. You know, each one has its own identity. But the one that is most memorable for me, I was 9, maybe 10 years old. And, you know, this is when the time in my life, you know, we were really going to church heavily, doing all of the Catholic and Baptist things, because, you know, growing up Catholic and Baptist and all this other religious stuff. It actually was Christmas Eve. There was no presents, no tree, no nothing, nada, zilch, zero in the house. And so my mom said, well, why don't you guys go to Christmas Mass? Talking about my aunt, my grandmother, my cousin, we all went to midnight mass with the neighbor. And so, you know, that was the thing, you know, growing up, you know, you had to go to Christmas service. Mm-hmm. And so we went, and I tell you, I think that was the longest Christmas service I ever went to in my life. It probably was maybe about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, but it felt like two. It was really long.
Yeah,
I know, right? And so I get back, and it was a Christmas meal because there was a tree, there was presents, everything. So it's like, and I couldn't go to sleep, but I had to. So I think we got back, it was like maybe 1 o'clock in the morning or something. And Christmas just magically appeared in the house. So that was the most magical, memorable Christmas for me. Yeah.
What a beautiful memory. How cool is that? Especially being the age you were and just coming home.
Yeah.
And the magic, like you say, that, you know, for a little fella, that would just be so magical. You'd always believe in magic after that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Always. When you have to believe in the impossible, you know, that's something to draw upon when you can believe in something, when you have that memory to pull from, that all things happen, all things are possible.
Yeah.
And we should live that way now, that all things are possible.
Yeah, you know, and I have to remind myself too, because I sometimes forget. I mean, like we all do.
Yeah.
So do you have any traditions in New Zealand that, like a country kind of tradition, or, and I know you have the indigenous people there as well. I always forget their names. Maori. Maori.
Yeah.
Any traditions you like to share?
No real traditions. I guess it's mainly around food, you know, because people gather with food. So it is like, yeah, filling your bellies, and that is wealth, and it's coming together and it's sharing. So, yeah, and it really, although we may have barbecues and that, we still do traditional, like the ham and the odd turkey now, because turkey's not a big meat here. And the Christmas puddings and Christmas cakes. So people, they still have that big Christmas dinner in heat. So, yeah, there's no real traditions. It's just eat, be merry and happy, and, yeah, probably play and sleep because your belly's full. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit thing, but it's like, the different Christmases I've had, it's, Yeah, it is around food too. I mean, there is the going to the Christmas mass and things like that for other people. Yeah, they like to do that at midnight on Christmas Eve. And then it's just being with family, really, or friends. Yeah.
So I guess we've come to the conclusion that food is the universal connection to all.
Yes. But wait a minute. That brings to mind, you know, I'm not well versed in this topic, and you know that I continue to grow and increase my knowledge in this. But, you know, the real history of Christmas, you know, anyway, you know, started as a pagan tradition celebrating, you know, the solstice energy, celebrating, you know, the things to come. And of course, you know, religion, you know, took it over. I mean, obviously then it becomes this very commercialized holiday. And, you know, I guess what I'm getting is, I guess I want to hear your viewpoints on the history of this, you know, very commercialized holiday now.
Mine, Hillis.
Well, either you or Rebecca. I'm not, you know, because like I said, I'm still learning about all of this, you know, the history of this holiday.
Yeah, and it was a pagan, and I think there's a lot of different traditions. As I said, I didn't read that much into all the history behind all the different ways, but the pagan, you know, and the celebration. And I think, you know, for me, it's very interesting looking at the commercialized part of it and the religion part of it, and then also the true part of it, of where it stemmed from in nature, and in celebrating the cycles. And that's kind of where we are right now. If you look from, we're kind of completing a cycle right now. If you look from the past of where Christmas and, you know, the holiday season and all this, the winter solstice, you know, moving into this winter solstice where everything kind of began. I mean, look what's coming up now. I was telling Hillis to the other day is, you know, the Star of Bethlehem is going to be shown again. It's coming to fruition and going to form on the 21st, it's going to be seen.
I think so. So the 21st or 22nd.
22nd, I don't know, dates to me, you know, with the winter solstice. I mean, talk about magic. And and even with the virus, you know, this it's like this, everything that's happening right now in this new world and this new energy and celebrating the history of what was, I feel is just, you know, we're all completing all these circles right now. And it's so exciting with that circle, with the Star of Bethlehem showing, you know, from Jesus Christ, that was, you know, of his birth. It's like we're coming to this whole new way of celebrating with the virus that has taken over the world and everybody's so concerned. But yet, if you look on the backside of everything, it has also brought us all together to go back to the original feeling of what Christmas is about, the celebration. You know, and the beauty and the love and the peace and the heart and the giving, you know, the three kingsmen that came to give Jesus Christ the gift, you know, the giving from the heart and the love and just, and the abundance that's open to us. And it doesn't have to be so commercialized, and getting back to the basics of the love and light that we truly are. And the showing of Star of Bethlehem showing itself now in this crossroads of what is, to bring in that energy during this time, at this end of year, after all this has happened, to bring that all together, to just, to really bring us back to that space of love that we've lost our way. So that's my view. That's what came to me. So.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. And adding to that, you know, with Jesus's birth is the gift of life, you know, just to go on from what you said, it was like being in the celebration that this life is a gift. And we, yeah, not to forget that either, because, yeah, but I love that. I didn't know about the Star of Bethlehem. That's way cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love how the birds are singing now. Did they stop? Or am I? Are you hearing the birds?
I am. I'm hearing the birds. Yeah. But, you know, I want to also, like, connect all of this to the universal energies. I mean, as we all know, the solstice just recently happened. And so with these energies that are coming in, the energies that are really helping people to really see where they are, to see what's happening in their lives, to really understand the point of this newness. And, you know, as we talked about everything going back to what it was thousands of years ago, you know, with the connection to nature, really understanding the true meanings, the true rituals of this planet, of this universe, and connecting to our higher self, to our God self, and to the masters, you know, because Jesus, Yeshua, is a master. And so, you know, people often forget that this master was here to teach us so many things, you know, about ourselves and how to tap into this energy. And the return of the Star of Bethlehem is just a signal for that divinity, to know that we are all here, we are all represented under this one star, this unity, this trinity of light. And, you know, people just may view it as a universal thing, you know, as this one time occurrence, but this momentous occasion is grandfathering us into this era of the Age of Aquarius that people have been talking about for decades, and now it's here. What do we do?
And it goes back to, I feel, so thank you for that, you know, Jesua, and you know why he was hearing the messages that, you know, have been, it's just kind of remember the magic that we truly are, that why he was here, because everyone on this planet has the gift inside of them that Jesus had, you know, the magic, the energy. I mean, that's, we are all walking images of him. And I feel he walked this earth to teach us kindness, to teach us love, not only his healing. And some of his messages got construed over the years and misdirected the wrong way, I guess you'd say. And it's really the energies now, as you say, the Age of Aquarius is really, you know, and as I said, it's a full circle with the star coming. It's moving us back into those original teachers of being who we truly are, in the heart of us, in the love of us, as we had our guest, Neil Donna Walsh, the pure love. That's what we're being asked to be, is the pure love of who we are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Oh my God, I love the birds singing. What kind of birds are they? Or don't you know?
Well, they're blackbirds, sparrows, and tuis.
What's a tui?
Yeah.
A local bird?
Tui is, well, he's actually called the priest bird because he's all black. And on his throat, he's got a little white tuft. So, you know, how the ministers have the black collar with the white in it. So
yeah. That's
why he's called the priest bird. So his real name is Tui. And, yeah, he has a different song. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Really wants to be, he wants us to listen to him right now. He's really coming through to sing with us for our celebration here.
Yeah, I've noticed the birds are singing more, and I just love that. It feels like there's more birds around and singing all through the day. So there's a celebration, like you said.
Yes.
And yeah. Yeah.
And that's the celebration of who we are, is all finding our songs and vibrate at the song that we sing and find how we sing in this world.
Yes. Yeah.
That we've all forgotten.
Yeah. And they're about community too, you know? They eat together and, yeah. So it's finding your community as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's all about the creation of who we are, the beingness of who we are, and really moves into the place of acceptance. Because, you know, we can have all of these movements, we can have all these occasions, we can have all this grand energy that is coming in and that we are being introduced to here now on the planet. But if we don't allow the time, or if we are not processing or don't understand it, then where does that leave us? You know, it just leaves us where we are in the stagnant energy, and the stagnant energy is, well, you know, no movement. And so then, you know, it allows us to take that chance to move forward, to allow us to be ultimately the creators, or realize then that we are the creators of what we create, because that's part of what the history of this holiday has presented to us. You know, you have religions who saw what the pagans were doing and saw what everyone else was doing out in nature. And then they said, well, you know, to honor this day, to really, you know, bring forth a new energy, a new dynamic, let's take this holiday over. Let's allow, let's impose our beliefs, our ideas upon this, so that way we can create something. So in essence, the religions, as I learned, all 4,300 religions took this holiday and did something with it. They created something with it. So now it's up to us to create our own belief, to create our own system with this that resonates with us. And so this is what this is all coming into, a new birthing of life.
Yes, convenience. Yeah. Magic. And I need, can I share magic with you for a second? So I wanted to share, I showed you Hillis before this. So it is like the frozen tundra here in Florida right now, where I am in Northern Florida. And it's, I think it was like, I don't know, the other day it was like 30 degrees, like freezing. It's very cold right now. And I have a rose bush outside that this beautiful rose, and I want to share, actually bloomed during the frost. So this is my little Christmas beautiful rose. I thought I'd share, because that's magic of beauty, how we can overcome anything when we, you know, I mean, this beautiful thing blooms in the middle or somewhere it's not supposed to. And that's how we are. You know, we can bloom no matter what happens.
Yes.
We have that strength and that beauty inside of us. And we have that magic inside of us that nothing really can stop us when we stay in the heart and the love of who we truly are.
Yeah. Only we can stop ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because I actually had someone mention to me earlier that I am in my own way of creating. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And we had this little conversation, and there was things that were pointed out to me. And I'm like, you're right. And so I'm in this space of personal evolution. And I feel the energy, I feel the growth, I feel this, I feel that. And the analogy that I made was that I am like a queen on a chessboard. I can move in any direction that I choose, go as short or as far as I wish, but you know, it's up to me to make the choice of where I want to go. And until that choice becomes clear, I'm not making it unless, you know, it's something that I know makes me feel good, something that I know is a guarantee. And I say this for everyone who's watching right now, that you are your own queen on the chessboard. You know, you're not a knight, you're not a pawn, you are not a king, you are not anything. You're the most powerful piece on the board. This is you, this is your life. And then you get to choose how you move.
And I want to add can I add a caveat to that?
Yeah.
And if you choose the wrong path in that move, you can always choose again.
Yeah.
There's unlimited possibility on that chessboard.
Yes. Yeah.
And I see Ariana, your wheels are just turning.
I know, like, I feel I was waiting for her to say something because I felt.
Yeah, and I was, sorry, there was a pause there, and I was feeling that, I heard the other day, only you can pollute yourself, so, which is quite a big responsibility, you know, and realizing that, yeah, your thoughts can pollute yourself and everything, and that's why, you know, the tool or the other side is exactly what you were saying, but with the rose, showing the rose that, yeah, in all those different extremities, that rose grew, blossomed, and yeah, and that to me really is 2020 as well. And everything that's been going on is that blossoming and blooming, and yeah, just, that's what 2020 has been for me. It's a real gift.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. I feel the same way on that. It's just been going through so much of my own growth. And I like to call growth hope, which is honoring our personal evolution and learning that. And that's what hope means to me, is standing in that and learning that and growing in that. And it's also to come to another level with everything happening with me, where I don't know if you guys find this, like before, like if something were to come up, it was like I was digging forever. Like it took me a month to unravel something. But now the energy is just so fast. It's just like this, to unravel and release things and move forward and see it and just be in that multi-universe, multi-dimensional part of us, to look at all the everything at one time almost. It's just very interesting times as we move into 2021. Are you guys finding that for yourself as well? Like where you've been on your journey, you know, talking about, and where you are now as far as like moving through energies and letting go of stuff and seeing things and having those clarity moments. And are you finding that shift for you guys as well?
Yes. Yeah, and strengthening is the word that comes up to me. And the people that I've come across, everyone feels strengthened from their core out, and they're feeling more confident, and they're walking taller, and the fear is dropping, so that they are fearless or fearing less as well, which is beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because when you are in that space of ebb and flow, you know, as we all are, and in particular this time of transition into these new energies, when we are in the flow, things are just moving, things are happening. It's like, you know, things are taking you by surprise and by storm, because it's all happening so fast and so quickly. But on the flip side of that, you know, when you're in the ebb, it's like, oh my goodness, why is this taking forever? Why is this dragging along? What's happening? What am I doing? What am I not doing? And you go through this whole internal process of like, just shoot me already. You know, you just want it to be over when you're in the ebb. And so we have to allow ourselves to step into that space of flow, you know, especially now, you know, with Rebecca, you know, being in this space of flow with you, you know, creating this, things are happening. It's like, okay, what just happened? And so it just is a matter of essence in which we allow.
And it's funny you say that, talking about ebb and flow. So when I was on the phone with you earlier today, we were discussing a few things. I had pulled up to the gas station. It was crazy. Remember I said, I have to get off?
Yeah.
And it was so exactly, that's what happened to me in that moment. I like, I gotta get it off. Well, there was a line of people, and I get behind this guy, and everybody else is moving through, but the guy I got behind. And I was such an ebb, like he was taking his time, he's walking over, and everybody else is just, I was just like about to lose. I'm like, okay. And I had to remember and step into the discernment in that moment, where we get out of our flow into the ebb and really say, okay, step back and bring myself back into alignment. So it was so interesting. And that's when I was leaving afterwards, because then he finally left, and it was just like, okay, I made it through that. But you know, it really reminded me how we can be in the flow, and then in the next thing you get in the ebb when we allow the chaos to take us over, that's going on around us, and to sit back and breathe and just allow what's happening to happen, and don't have the judgment or expectations around it, to get yourself back into the flow of you.
Yeah.
And during this holiday, it's really, you know, it's with the end of the year and everything happening, to remember that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It is, especially, you know, first, you know, since we're in this moment, I want to, for those who are watching, those who have lost anyone during this time, you know, I've known a few friends of mine who have lost people, and I understand where you are emotionally. So I send my deepest condolences to you, to allow yourself to step back into the flow, to allow yourself to understand the transition that we are all in, because we are all experiencing some form of grief, whether it's a loss of a person, a loss of a job, a loss of whatever it is. I mean, we all have experienced loss this year. So take this time to embrace that loss, to understand that loss, and not to be in the victim, woe is me mode, because that only creates M, that creates stagnation. And I'm not saying not to be in it, but just don't wallow in it. It's okay to process it. It's okay to understand it. It's okay to be in it, to really allow it the freedom that is on the other side to come. Because that's what's on the other side of grief, the sadness, the hurt, the pain, all of that is the feeling of freedom, the feeling of love, the feeling of joy. And so my condolences to you, to all of you. But know that there's such great joy, such great freedom, such great love on the other side of all of this.
Thank you for that, Hillis.
Wow.
That was beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
And yeah. It's so true.
So profound and beautiful.
Thank you.
And isn't it that human part of us that gets caught up in the grief that... we forget about the other side of us and that part of us that can move through that grief and as you said, move on the chessboard and make another choice to open and be aware and feel the grief and allow it to move through you and honor it and thank it because it is part of who we are and this experience we're having. However, once we move past it, going back into who we truly are.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, listen to your heart, because when we listen through our heart in those times, it's amazing the messages that come through, but also the support that you wouldn't normally notice and a beautiful truth that is spoken in that time as well. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely the truth. Yeah, definitely the truth, because that's where, you know, part of grief is actually revealing the truth, is understanding what is happening in that moment. You know, I've shared the story before, but I'm feeling moved to share this story again. And, you know, it was about 5 years ago when I lost my mom, a few months after I lost my aunt. And, you know, I was living in New York at the time, and I got a phone call from my cousin telling me that my mom was in the hospital. She just came back from our family reunion, which I didn't go, and we were making plans for her to come visit New York for the first time since I've been there, and for her 60th birthday. And so everything was all planned, ready to go. I get a phone call. And I'm on the next flight out to Chicago. And I go to the hospital. I'm in Chicago for a whole week. I'm at the hospital every single day. From the moment I wake up till the time they kick me out, I am there. And my mom is on every possible machine you can think of. Everything from a ventilator to dialysis machine, everything. She, you know, her body gave up on it. And it was the day for me to fly back, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, if you want to stay, you have a lot of work to do, but if you want to go, I understand. And in that moment, I saw the truth of my mom. I saw that she was a fighter her whole life, and that my mom suffered with grief and depression her whole life. And all these images just came in, and I realized in that moment that if I stayed, there was nothing I can do. And so I left. It was a Friday or a Saturday afternoon, and I went back home to New York, and I get a phone call Monday morning, 9:38 a.m., and which was 8:38 a.m., Chicago time. And I got the call saying that my mom has passed. And in that moment, I really felt her energy. I felt her presence. And so now the truth of who she is this beautiful, gorgeous, pink energy that's always around me. And I always, when she's near me, well, okay, she's always near me, but when she's trying to get my attention, I see the time in which she passed, which is 8:38. I'm like, okay, what do you want? What are you trying to get my attention to? And so this is the truth of my relationship, the truth of who she was, the truth of all of it. So yes, there's pain, there's guilt, there's all of this, but the beauty of it is that the connection that we have to ourselves, the connection we have to others, the connection we have to our source, God, higher self, is infinite, it's eternal. So know that that is the truth of all matters.
That's the most amazing, beautiful story of the truth. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, especially during our holiday show, because it's, you know, it's Mary's celebration, but these are also parts of us as well, that we have to look at it all, not just the happy, but also the things that make us feel sad or go through grief or things, and to help us move through to be back to the happy, that it all has to work together, and it all works together and it flows together.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That was beautiful. Yeah, really beautiful.
Thank you. So now it's time to laugh.
It's time to laugh?
It's time to laugh.
Oh my God. So, can
I sing before we laugh?
Yeah.
I know, Ariana. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. You know, it's just where we were with Hillis, and quite often what I tell my clients when they know that someone's about to pass is to get a sign. So when they pass and they come back, it could be a pull on the ear, a tap on the shoulder.
Thanks, she froze.
Oh no.
Somebody's coming to see her right now.
Or a tickle on the cheek or something.
I think
so. When that come to pass. Oh.
You're here.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I thought I'd disappeared. So when people have passed, they can come back, and just when they tickle you, when you've got your sign, that fills your heart, and you know that they're there, rather than the questioning later on as to if you can get your sign before, and that helps pass that on as well, that information, just to, so that they can trust that those people are there for them.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that. I think somebody was coming in while you were speaking because you froze a little bit there, so I think you were getting a sign.
Okay. Yeah, but probably my mother.
Call your mom. You know, what a beautiful share on that, because isn't that the biggest thing that people always ask, knowing that their loved ones are okay on the other side, or where they are, or, you know, just wanting that sign. So that's a beautiful suggestion for people, because I think we get so caught up, we don't step back and look that they are there and they do communicate with us in very subtle, simple ways. I had somebody that just transitioned a couple weeks ago, just a friend, and they were having a memorial service for him, which was just fabulous. But that whole night, and he liked to play a clown all the time, but that whole night my nose was itching. I'm like, what is up with this nose itch? And I realized the next day it was him showing me the clown nose to let me know that he was there. And that was his way to get my attention, even though it was in my sleep. And I was like, what's going on? But I figured it out this morning. But that's true. They do come in little subtle ways, and Just be aware.
Yeah. And it's okay to set it up before.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm. Oh, beautiful. So now we have to laugh.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking at your reindeer antlers. I love them. But, you know, looking at them, they remind me of cactuses.
Maybe that's why I wanted to wear them.
Grandfather. You know, being down here in Florida, that's all you see are cactuses and other native plants. And I'm like, yeah, those are cactuses, not reindeer antlers.
I had my beautiful backdrop like Hillis has, but I couldn't see my antler ears in it. So I had to take it off. I got tired of trying to figure it. And then they had one I could do, but it had a nose and I didn't like the nose, so.
Yeah. And Hilla, do you keep changing from Santa looking to a crown?
Yeah, it disappears.
Right.
You see?
It disappears. Yeah. Yeah, I was having problems with my Santa hat. It disappears.
Hold on, look.
Yeah. But it's okay. You know, now I have like a Santa mohawk.
Yeah,
I got the Christmas tree. Now we can jingle and jangle. We're gonna laugh. We get a little laugh going on, a little Christmas tree dancing.
So now, since we are so close now to the new year, all this energy, you know, has come in. I was thinking, you do have them, and so you were right. This is very good. This is the time when we can draw a card for everyone who's watching to let them know what energy to expect in the new year, to what is to come for them. Because this, you know, I want everyone to know who's watching that, you know, yes, 2020 was not the year everyone expected it to be, because everyone said 2020 vision going in, this is going to be all, you know, new stuff, you know, new year, new decade, new all of that. And it is all new, but it's not the way that we intended it to be. It's not the way that we designed it to be. It's not the way that we expected it to be. All new things are happening. It's just our perception of what is new and what is going to happen. And so now, since we are, you know, beyond this new energy that is into, what is to come, Miss Rebecca Gregory?
I don't know. What do I look like, a seer or something?
Well, you got the cards to show you the way. Come on.
I don't know what cards to do. This is an impromptu thing, you know, and talking about, you know, they threw me out a whole book. Okay, let's go here. You know, what, you know, talking about what you said to the expectation of what this year was and what happened. It's you know, just as such a reminder of to sit back and trust that the universe has a plan, has a path for everyone, and we have to let go of the expectations of what we want to show up and how it shows up. And being in the energy of that, of trusting and letting go, and even though it's been a roller coaster of a year of so much happening on so many different levels, that, you know, it's all part of a master plan of where we are and what, where we're going. And I did read something tonight, and very briefly I saw, you know, talking about, I know one of the prophecies for change, you know, with the, I think it's the Hopi Indians, or it could have been a couple energy tribes, of all the different, and don't call me because I've read it a million times, but I can never remember it, but how all the different clans were put in different parts of the world, and that the prophecy is when the red, go ahead.
No, I'll say, yes, I remember someone a while ago telling me that someone's story about there were four tribes.
Yeah.
And how they went to different parts of the world. Yeah.
Parts of the world, and they come together. And the one that's always been left out is Native American. Yeah. And then so when all four come together, is the prophecy to change the world, to move to peace and everything. Well, I just I didn't even read it, but something about Biden was gonna put the new, internal secretary is a Native American woman that he's gonna nominate. I just saw a brief thing. I don't know the details. I kind of saw it right before we were about to record this. So, but I thought that was very interesting, because if that is true, look what just happened. The fourth tribe just came in and came together.
Yeah.
Mm. So I kind of pulled the Lemurian cards, because, you know, we love the Lemurian. I know Hillis, we did the Lemurian cards. And Hillis loves the Lemurian cards. So very interesting. So, you know, what kind of came up here to the Elvins is like going back into the magic. There's two cards that came up in the energy of it. And it's going back into attuning to the natures and the signs to find your way and following your heart. And that's the main key. And that's the main message right here, is following your heart. And also, you know, to know that we are timeless and to flow and be adaptable and to take the time to be who we are with following our heart. And that's the energy we need to be in, and to know that we can be free. We can be free of all that binds us to who we aren't. Mm-hmm. And we have that energy, and that's what we're moving into. And that's so profound right now. And, you know, and nature's every day, if you can sit on the ground, I can't, you know, sit outside and sit on the ground to just connect yourself to all that is, because that connection of all is going to create a world that we're all free from the binds that tie us when we follow our heart and be in our heart.
Yeah, I sit outside.
It's all about the magic. Believe in the magic.
Yes. Yes, my magical Christmas.
Yeah.
It's just too much fun. You know, walk around all night going like this.
Yeah. But you know what grounds me? So every day, between 12 and 1 o'clock, I go outside and feed the fish in the pond.
Mmm.
Wow. And that's a moment, because I get to, because, you know, long story short, you know, we got a few fish, and then something happened where most of the fish died. We saved one. He's about maybe that big now. Koi fish. Name is Micah. All white, beautiful fish. And we saved him from making his transition. The other ones didn't make it because they were a little bit smaller. And so we got all new fish, and they're all about maybe this big, maybe a little bit bigger. And for a while, Michael was kind of skittish, you know, didn't trust people and his environment. And so new fish kind of like followed his lead. And so over the past few weeks, I have witnessed them releasing their fear when I go out to feed them. You know, and when I go out, I take a little bit of food every time so that way they get comfortable and get to know me. And so now I see Micah returning to his former self, and I see all his fish buddies. One of them I actually call Batman, but because he's blue and silver, he's blue and silver. So it's like, okay. And I see all of them just really, you know, loosening up, you know, around me feeding them. And so this is part of what you were talking about, you know, aside from going out outside being grounded, it's also about releasing that fear, releasing what binds us. Mm-hmm. And so we all have that process to move, to elevate ourselves from 3D to 4D into 5D energies, is to release whatever it is that's binding us from that, from preventing us from making these dimensional shifts, you know, from moving from solely from our power, from, you know, having to control that power that we have, you know, whether if it's given or taken or what have you, whatever your thoughts is about the power center, the being grounded in this physical space and elevating to your heart space and communicating your truth, because that's where we are now. That's where we're moving into.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for that story. That's so true.
Yes.
Watching nature, they teach us every day.
Yeah.
Take the time to watch them.
And recently I've been learning when you in the morning going out on the grass and there's a dew, and Mother Earth has pushed that fresh water up through her and, you know, above her. And by just walking on the grass with that beautiful moisture that is just new to the day is very, very cleansing and clearing and also grounding. And so therefore the respect of being supported and feeling supported by Mother as well, and that she offers that to us for our new day. Each day is a beautiful, fresh dew.
Have you ever looked down on the dew and see the connection like spider webs?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
It's been an hour already.
Wow.
Wow.
So, Ariana, Do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to leave with our audience, you know, who are about to partake in this wondrous celebration here on this planet?
For next year or now and beyond, be with the change and realize it does come from within, and to allow yourself the awareness to go deeper, because in the deep depth is your truth, and in your truth you will make the truthful decisions for you, and in that way it enables you to stop buying into the collective and seeing the truth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's right in line with what we talked about today.
Yeah. So that's from me.
Should we sing a song?
A Christmas song? I can't sing, so you guys will sing.
How about just "We Wish You a Merry Christmas"?
Yeah, okay.
That's a good one. You ready? Okay. You got one, Ariana?
Yeah, "Wish You a Merry Christmas" is good.
Okay, ready? One, two, three.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy brand new year.
I was so off key. Awesome.
It's okay. Yeah. Isn't that the fun part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I always try to be normal, unique.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I'm really excited about?
What?
Our new series coming up for the next month, kicking off with our very special guest next week.
I know. Anastasia Combos is going to join us from the Blue Beyond. We're going to skip over from New Zealand to Australia. So we always cover the continental divide, don't we? And she's going to join us for her, what's been happening in Australia with the whole process that she's been doing and bringing in the energies to kick off our, what are we going to kick off for the new year?
So it's all about other practitioners like us, other energy workers, other portals, if you will, of people who are guiding us, who are informing us of what's happening in this grand universe of ours.
So basically alien races like Sirius, the Pleiadians, and whoever else wants to come and play.
Exactly.
Cool. What a fun show. We kind of got off the holiday, but we had a good time, didn't we?
Oh.
Yeah.
Holidays, yeah. Always.
Yes, it is. And Ariana, I thank you for taking time out of your day to join us. Did you have any Ariana's dictionaries you wanted to share before we go? I know you're on the road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm packed up. I'm all cool. Thank you so much for allowing me to jump on. It's just a pleasure to be here with the two of you, and I love the two of you together. And yeah, I always listen, and I will continue to listen. So I'm looking forward to the next year and seeing, yeah, the next programs, what's coming on, and the newness of you guys. So thank you, and thank you for sharing in the world of you two. Mm. Awesome. Yeah.
And thank you, my dear, for being the magic of who you are.
I'm so glad we're friends. Love it. Hey, I do this thing, Ariana's Dictionary. So I've been looking at time the other day, and, you know, I've got many friends and they've got different schedules and times. And then I was like, oh, hello. You look at the way you spell time. It's actually got I in there and me. So time is all about me and I first. And for another thing of Ariana's dictionary is me is my energy. So take the time to look after your energy and connect with your I am. You have the time.
I love that. Yeah.
That one. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Well, maybe you come back and join us sometime for some more Ariana's dictionary. Hillis, you haven't seen all of them. There's really cool. She usually has props. We didn't have the props.
I would love it.
She has props.
Yeah, Becky loves the props.
I do love the props.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. And yeah, I love the name Revolution Radio. I mean, wow, it's really a beginning. And yeah, I really celebrate you two and the newness of you and getting out in the world, and thank you with gratitude for everything that you gift us with your love and light, both of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ariana.
And I just want to close just to remind everyone out there to not limit yourself, create yourself, and be the change in you.
Yes.
Especially going into this new year. So that's what I like to end tonight's and happy holidays. And how about you, Hillis? How do you want to have anything to close out with before we shut down for the night?
So as we move into this divinity, this unity, this allness that we all wish to connect with, just remember that you are more powerful than you give yourself credit for. Allow yourself to be in the flow, to expand, and allow yourself to sit in the ebb and understand the movements, to understand the shifts that are happening within you. And as we move through this energy, know that you are never alone. You will never be alone. We are here, source is here, your guides are here, people who love you are ever present. And as you shift into this new energy of this new year, of this new dimensional space, allow yourself to be filled with love, joy, and acceptance.
A-ho to that.
Yes, a-ho, a-ho, a-ho.
Oh, well, everyone, thank you for joining us this evening for Cosmic Insight, and enjoy your holiday and enjoy the ride of the new year, because it's going to be a doozy.
Heard instead,
dear listeners,
through podcast radio
on realrevolutionradio.com.
Never before has inspirational podcast radio been taken to this next level of wow.
Until now.
Today, in the age of information,
more and more people are searching for answers
and in solutions
and how to better approach and perceive every day-to-day concerns
by tuning in
to realrevolutionradio.com.
Isn't it about time we take back our lives, back in consciousness,
in a higher state of awareness, in the evolution of our own state of higher well-being?
Yes, we can do so consciously
every day
by tuning in
to the many groundbreaking and third eye-opening podcasts.
Our new Cleveland-based network of over 33 paradigm-shifting internet talk shows, only on realrevolutionradio.com. Be part of that change.
Evolve.
Be inspired.